If it is or if it ain't, it's gonna come out.
Good morning, everybody. It's your girl, Miracle Sims, and you're listening to God, Sex, and Love, your daily dose of inspiration, the juice. It is March the 20th, 2024, and today the topic is how to have a biblical worldview. Happy Wednesday. Yes, happy Wednesday, everybody. I hope you guys had a wonderful Tuesday. Mine was just fine. Yep, mine was good overall. Mine was good. Y'all know I did the juice yesterday, and I did have an episode of the GSL talk show that I ended up recording. To a certain extent, I kind of feel like I held back a little bit yesterday's conversation, to be honest. I did have a bit of an audience, I would say, like that. But regardless of that, right, I felt like it was very interesting because the conversation that I had on the GSL talk show coincided with yesterday's juice. I ended up talking to, you know, another gentleman and whatnot, and sharing with him, you know, just my point of view about church and all these different type of things. And so, yeah, you know, at the end of the day, it was all felt right on time, right? So I hope that you guys received what I was saying, even though I didn't fully go deeper in saying every single thing about yesterday's conversation. But yeah, I felt like everything was going hand in hand. Y'all didn't even know that, but I mean, I don't know, it just came out today. So anywho, so that was something interesting about yesterday. Outside of that, I had a few conversations, meaningful conversations. And one of the meaningful conversations was my first day of therapy. So yeah, shout out again to Mountain West Church for providing such an opportunity to be able to, you know, get some help and things of that nature. I felt like it was more of a discovery conversation, just kind of talking about, you know, I guess different observations and, you know, why did I choose right now and things of that nature. And even though I feel like we didn't necessarily go too deep into like helping me, quote unquote, right, with everything, it was more so like finding out what's going on, at least from my point of view. It was interesting the things that the therapist was leaving me with. And one of those things was that she was going to give me some information to read. And then as well as that, you know I've been telling you guys over the past few months that I've been feeling like there are spiritual attacks happening, you know, in my life and stuff. And so she asked me a very profound question yesterday to ponder on. And that is, what is the spiritual attacks trying to block? I don't think I even thought about what that could be. And so that was very interesting and something to think about. Now, do I think I have the answer right now? Maybe not. I mean, do I think, hey, is it something about GSL and the ministry that's trying to be blocked? Maybe, you know, again, maybe things with my family and things of that nature, perhaps, you know, there's some blockage trying to happen within, again, what God has joined together, you know, in our household and things of that nature. But we're going to see what the Lord do with all of this. I just wanted to share with you guys that I did finally have the first session. And I don't know whether it's going to be weekly or bi-weekly, but it seems like it's going to be something that continues for a little while. And so I'll keep y'all up to date and informed, man. But I hope overall me sharing these things will encourage you and inspire you that if you need some type of assistance, look into it, friends. It's my understanding that apparently therapy sessions are free if you have health insurance. So that's something to think about. And then my understanding as well is that there's a variety of organizations that are available for, you know, different needs and stuff like that. And so by all means, again, if you need help, you need someone to talk to, all of those different things, then go ahead and look into it. I mean, I know I do some coaching of my own. I do, a bit of dating coaching and whatnot. But we all need somebody to lean on, right? And so, again, even talking about what we kind of were talking about yesterday in regards to fellowship and breaking bread and things of that nature, like, no man is supposed to be an island, right? And so no matter how much we like being alone and, fixing our own problems and doing things ourselves and stuff like that, every now and then we need someone. And this doesn't, again, take away from anybody in my life that I've talked to over the years, because I'm definitely grateful for those individuals that have been there and listened to me and, were there to give me solid and sound wisdom and advice over the years. But I think there is something to me going to this professional therapist and seeing, what other wisdom, as well as like what other, things could be going on, and with me, for me, and through me as I embark on, all the things that God has me doing, ministering to children, which is something that I never thought. I mean, I have to say I never thought I would do, but I didn't know I was going to be doing it in the capacity that I'm doing today, and being quote unquote the part of the leadership of Mountain West. That's a whole nother thing that, again, I don't think I even imagined being or doing per se up until like maybe when I got the first church job. But I didn't know that, again, it was going to be to this capacity, being the host and whatnot of the GSL platform and everything that's come with that. Like, there's a lot of new things happening in my life, right? And I think, again, perhaps God even want to take everything to another level, and I can't, so it's good to prepare, for such things. Who knows? I mean, I hear with, more subscribers and more followers and stuff, you get more attack, And so who knows, man, what all the Lord is going to do, and who knows what the enemy is trying to block by, having me to go through all these mental attacks and things of that nature that's been happening over the past few months. But one, I know that this is seasonal, so I know that it's not going to be lasting too much longer, in my humble opinion. It's going to be time for another season at some point. And then also, I know that this is, again, just helping me to grow. It's just like another cultivation period and things of that nature. And we're going to continue to have cultivation periods up until, I believe, the end of our life. So something to think about. I hope you're encouraged and inspired by that. So let's get into this juice, okay? Biblical worldview. How to have a biblical worldview. This came into my heart and mind this morning. I guess it was sometime after the prayer meditation. I did do a lot of getting a download, going back to sleep, that type of thing. And in the midst of that, this phrase biblical worldview came into my heart and mind. I ended up looking into it. And it was quite interesting. I came across several articles that I did get a chance to peruse and let marinate on my heart, souls, and hold my heart, soul, and mind. And I feel led to share at least quite a bit of what I found. But in regards to Bible verses, you may see that in the Go Deeper section, I didn't put any supporting verses, because as I looked at the verses this morning, they all were familiar. That was one reason. And then two, I was like, if you are ready for me and, to do your, study and whatnot, then you guys can go and check out that part yourselves. But I will, share, the quotes and things like that I did come across this morning that, that I felt led to share. But this thing about a biblical worldview. Now, again, believers, Christians, this is what we should have. This is how we should be living according to what the Bible say. But I came across these very interesting and staggering, I would say, statistics about that. Let me go ahead and tell you the statistics since I brought it up. Okay. So just a quick search. I ain't do no deep dive, just a little quick search. I came across this, I guess, question or whatever, and it was saying that in America, and we're just focused on America at the moment, it says that 68% still consider themselves to be Christians. Now, again, I don't know when this was, and I don't know if it was, last year's stats or whatever it was, but they were saying that 68% still consider themselves to be Christians. But of that 68%, only 6% have a biblical worldview. So that was very interesting. But then I came across another one that said 4%. So even less than that, 6% has a true biblical worldview. And so for me, I mean, my very first question here is like, how can this 68% consider themselves to be Christians if you don't believe what the Bible got to say? Like, you know, and I guess, I mean, I couldn't help but be reminded again of the delusion, or what they say, quote unquote, the God of this world does, blinds us and things of that nature, that somehow 68% consider themselves to be believers that don't believe. So, I mean, what does that mean? You know, I couldn't help but think about the word lukewarm. And so I did go and define that this morning. And speaking of definitions, let's take the definition of a biblical worldview, because again, if you don't have a biblical worldview, then to me, you're not a Christian. But hey, you know, let's just see, right? So when I look up the definition, it says, a biblical worldview, also called Christian worldview, is built upon the framework of ideas and beliefs through which a Christian is, a Christian individual or group, interprets the world and interacts with the world. And then I feel like a better definition, pretty much broken down, to say a worldview based on God's unchanging word. Again, friends, like, I mean, how in the world can we be believers, but then only 4 to 6% of us actually believe, have a biblical worldview? It shows just how, I guess, warped we are in our hearts and minds. And I guess I'm challenging us today, like, to figure out where you are with this, you know, because this is how the Bible tells us that few are going down that narrow path as believers. And this is how, friend, because again, like, 68% is over half of America. And then we just talk about America. We're not even talking about the whole world. So if it's 68%, again, of Americans that believe that you are Christians, believers, Bible, you know, whatever the case may be, whatever you want to call yourselves, right? But then you don't believe in the Bible, or you don't have a biblical worldview, the math ain't math, you know, in my humble opinion. So I went deeper about all of this, y'all, man. I read several articles. One of them was a blog post by S. Michael Hudeman. It's called What is a Christian Worldview? Check that out if you don't know what one is, if you need to go deeper beyond the definition that I just shared. Even a couple of articles over there at gotquestion.org. And actually, there was quite a few. Matter of fact, there was one section that was talking about worldviews in general. But if we're going to focus on the Christian worldview, there's a couple of articles that I got a chance to take a look at. One was, why do so many Christians not have a consistently biblical worldview? And then the other one was, once again, the title, What's a Christian Worldview? Check those things out. Feel free to go deeper if you feel so led to do. But I want to kind of talk about this one that was called, Why Do So Many Christians Not Have a Consistently Biblical Worldview? I mean, short answer is because we lukewarm, right? We look lukewarm, right? And according to the definition of that, I didn't, you know, use the one that was representing water, but the one that actually represents what we're talking about right now says lacking conviction, half-hearted. We are being half-hearted, and we're lacking the conviction of the word of God. And it came up with 6 different reasons why people could be living this way and not having a biblical worldview. So I'm going to just read these 6 different reasons. And again, if any of this stuff resonates with your heart and mind, I hope that, you know, this will encourage you and inspire you not only to repent, but also to go deeper about these different things and, you know, seek the Lord about how you can truly have a biblical worldview and get on that narrow path versus staying on the wide path and thinking you're a believer, but you really not. But anyway, before I get too deep into sharing my own opinions about that, let me share with you guys these 6 reasons why. So one, reason number one was lack of knowledge of what the Bible says. I mean, you know, I think that's very clear. I mean, again, people have conversations all day long. The Bible say this and the Bible say that. And then you'd be like, wait a minute, as somebody that reads, I haven't seen that yet. Can you show me where that says that? Because, there's plenty of conversations that go that way. And so, we have a lack of knowledge of what the Bible says. Now, that just goes down to just go and read it for yourself. Sure, you can listen to the juice every day. I be studying. I try myself to, my best to read the words verbatim that I see in the Bible and things like that. But, every now and then I know I jumble it up and I'll be like, look, excuse me, I can't read my handwriting right now. Y'all go read it for yourself. So there's nothing like reading and studying for yourself. Like, yeah, you can go listen to the pastor, podcast, whatever, and still not get a full understanding. And again, the Bible is a living and active, word, and so you could read the same verse every day and get something different from it, So, just something to think about. That's one of the main reasons why we are living like this, lack of knowledge of what the Bible says, okay? Reason number two is that we reject what the Bible says on certain issues, right? We don't like what it say. It's pulp, right? We don't understand it or we don't like it, then we reject it. And, again, I talk about that. I call it pulp on here, on the juice. I'm like, I can admit that there are things that I might not fully understand or might not even like, or whatever the case may be. But that's not going to change what it says. Like, I can't, just because I don't like it or maybe I don't understand it, it don't change what it says, y'all. And so, again, not knowing what it says and rejecting what it says are reasons why we are, quote unquote, lukewarm, or why we don't have a biblical worldview. Reason number three, we're more concerned with what the world has to say, think about us, than what God thinks about us. Again, this is something I share with you all the time. I'm like, why are we like that? Again, I think maybe because we're invisible God, perhaps that's the reason why, because we see and interact with other people. And so, maybe we weigh our quote unquote interaction here more than with the Lord. But again, is that wise? Is that the best thing to do? Is anybody here my creator? I mean, I love my parents, but, my father has, passed on and my mother is still here, but, she had a hand in my creation, but, the Lord is the one who created me ultimately, things of that nature. It's just things to think about. Speaking of my mama, she just sent me a message. Good morning, Mom. Good morning. Good morning. Thanks for tuning in. Love you. Bless you. So then reason number four is just the answer that we are lukewarm. We are lukewarm. We already talked about what lukewarm means. But just in case you forgot, lacking conviction and half-hearted. We are going into this thing half-heartedly. We're not truly convicted by the word of God. I believe, again, if you really truly go to the word and you open it up and you are seeking God with your whole heart, you you're going to be convicted by the stuff you're saying. You're going to see how unrighteous you are, how unholy you are, how not perfect you are, and all these different things. And you're going to be, seeking the Lord on how to be more like him, at the end of the day, be more like Christ. But a lot of us, we are living very lukewarm. We know what the Bible has to say about that, lukewarm, and this is only good for just spitting out, apparently. So can't get far with that type of mindset, but let me go ahead and keep going. So number five, reason why we, don't have a biblical worldview is that we are influenced by the world. Y'all, we're influenced by the world. We're influenced, again, like we were putting not only what people think about us over God, but then also the things of this world. Like, maybe it's just, you're so concerned about making money, right? You're so concerned about buying the biggest house or the newest car or getting the next amazing award or, whatever it is. Like, you're concerned with things of this world that you're putting things of God to the side. And that is a reason why we are, not having a biblical worldview. And the last example or reason that was given in that list was that we're swayed by our own circumstances and we doubt God's promises. And again, I get it, man. It's not saying it's hard to trust the Lord. I mean, again, it did take me, it was a journey of me getting to the place where I'm at, where I feel like I'm finally fully trusting the Lord. I mean, who knows? I'm probably still struggling in some areas and whatnot. I'm not trying to act like I'm perfect by any means, but I know that I gave the Lord my trust in pieces, right? And so everybody else is probably on that same journey as well. We're learning to trust the Lord piece by piece, day by day, things of that nature. But in spite of that, like, you know, we could be going through circumstances. Again, I think people are confused by thinking like, oh, well, you know, if I come to Christ, then things are supposed to be all good and my life is still looking bad. So, you know, what's the point? Again, I just talked to you guys last week about Kanye saying the same thing, you know. Oh, I prayed and I didn't get no answer. So I took, you know, I'm my own God, you know. He's not, you know, so unique in that thought. I mean, you know, there's plenty of other individuals that have that same mindset. If we don't feel like we got the answer that we want, or if we feel like our life isn't looking the way we want it to look, or whatever our reasons are. And then so that makes us doubt the Lord. That makes us doubt that he has our best interests at heart, and doubt that he's there, or whatever it may do. But I don't know, are any of these things resonating with you today? Are any of these things things that are on your heart and mind? Then you might be on that side, friend, if it is, and if you can relate to this. But at the end of the day, hey, if you listen to the sound of my voice today, I hope that you're encouraged and inspired to go deeper with these different ideas. You know, seek the Lord and say, hey, Lord, you know, I repent for these thoughts. I repent for living this way. And, you know, help me to not be lukewarm. Help me to have a true biblical worldview. Because as I was going deeper about a biblical worldview, what I was seeing is that obviously it's going to affect every aspect of your life, how you treat people, how you live, you know, all those things are going to be determined by you having a biblical worldview. And so, I mean, it plays a huge part, basically. I'm saying all this to say that in order to truly, not just say be a believer, but having a biblical worldview will, again, shape your life. It'll shape the way you live. It'll shape the way you think. It will shape the way the things you do, say, all of those different things. And so I hope you are encouraged and inspired to go deeper. I have come across a quote, and let me see. This is the quote that I want to leave you guys with as I wrap up right now. It says, to have a consistently biblical worldview, we must go back to the Bible and take hold of the promises of God. So this is how you have a biblical worldview, friends. You know, this is what we have to do in order to truly have that view. And it's going back to the basics, going back to the Word, and holding on to those promises that God gives us. So that's the juice this morning. You guys can go deeper about all these things. The Bible verse of today is Luke 1:49. It says, for he that is mighty hath done to me great things, and holy is his name. Friends, I hope you all enjoyed this juice this morning. Thank you so much for listening to God, Sex, and Love, your daily dose of inspiration. Jesus! I pray you guys to go forth and have a wonderful day. And I look forward to talking to you all tomorrow. If the Lord's will. Bye-bye. Yeah.
Did you know that you can support us for just 99 cents a month? That's right, friends. You can support everything that we do here at GSL for just 99 cents a month. Take a look around wherever this post is. You might see a link or maybe even a button that says support. Go there, check out the options, consider supporting us, because, you know, we enjoy bringing you all the daily inspiration as well as the weekly talk show, but we have much, much more to come. Thank you so much for the consideration. Bye-bye.